The reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 49, and reading from verse 1. That's on page 735 of the Pew Bible. Isaiah, chapter 49, reading verses 1 to 3. Listen to me, you islands. Hear this, you distant nations. Before I was born, the Lord called me. From my birth, he has made mention of my name. He made my mouth like a sharpened sword. In the shadow of his hand, he hid me. He made me into a polished arrow and concealed me in his quiver. He said to me, "You are my servant, Israel, in whom I will display my splendor." Amen.
As we think of words and meaning, one word in particular comes to mind, that of love. But love means all kinds of things to all kinds of people, and perhaps a day like today highlights that all the more, because we are human and emotions are pulled in all kinds of directions. But as we think of Jesus, and as we think of all that we've sung and all that we've said and all that we've done, we encounter a different kind of love. But how to describe that love? In Hebrew, the word for love is very much like our own. It's called aheb, but it has a very general kind of meaning. And that meaning isn't enough to describe God's love or his involvement in our lives. And so the earliest Christians turned to the Greek language to find a more sophisticated way of describing the precise nature of love. And in the Greek language, there are four different words describing different aspects of what love can and is. And one of those words is the Greek word agape. It's the only word that describes the self-giving nature of God, the self-giving sacrifice. And so the meaning of love in agape terms means that we can be transformed. The love and the experience of love that we might have known in our life or existence can be changed so that we can be more complete. And again, that comes from knowing Jesus, being exposed to his love, experiencing his love, so that the other kinds of love that can be part of life can be placed in their appropriate place. And in the middle, in the midst of it all, that incredible self-giving, sacrificial love that prompts our own hearts to act also in the same kind of love. That's the experience that God offers to each one of us. And so whatever your experience of love has been, and maybe it's not necessarily been a good experience, know that God, through his Son, offers a perfect love that can touch your life and touch the lives of those around us and in this community and in this city, to enable them to know the real meaning of love, whether it's on Valentine's Day or any day, at any time. Conversations often occur in my line of work, meeting with people, seeking to understand them or their situation, listening, giving advice, guidance, and prayer. All are involved, as you might imagine. But it involves more than all of that combined. For what I'm seeking in the midst of it all is God's voice, His direction, His words, His illumination, His insight, which could shed new light on whatever the matter or whatever the person. And that's possible because of Jesus, for He is present in the world. And His presence knows no bounds. The scriptures once pointed to the coming Messiah, and now we know of Him, or can know of Him, as all that was promised about Him has come true, has come to pass. I accept it, believe it, and follow, yet I all too easily forget that once I didn't. Once, whatever awareness of God I have was not. And once, whatever knowledge I have of God was not. Making the scriptures, as we now know them, the Bible, as we have it to hand, a mystery. But more than a mystery, an irrelevance. And that's true of so many people. To them, this building might mean all kinds of things or nothing. And to them, what we do might be regarded the same. And I forget. Because much of the time, I'm engaging with other people who believe, who think similarly, and who often agree in a like-minded way. Of course, I'm also engaging with others as well. And mindful that for many, the Christian faith is a journey still to be embarked upon. Or it may be that the journey has begun, but with a tentative progression. I say all of that because I was in conversation with someone just last week. And in amongst all that was said, our new church leaflet became the focus of attention. And it was then that I had to think again. For the person I was conversing with noticed the scripture reading listed for today. But they knew nothing of Isaiah. And they were uncertain about even the pronunciation. That did something in my heart. It brought tears to my eyes. I have been unable to forget since. This is a precious person, a special person in the eyes of God. Yet they've never been shown, never been guided, never been illuminated, and that's been over the course of a lifetime which has involved church on occasions. In response, I could have said all manner of things about Isaiah. He was the first and foremost of the Old Testament prophets. His prophetic ministry spanned 60 years or so, beginning in the year 740 BC, the year that King Uzziah died. But Isaiah went on to serve under four different kings of that period: Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, and Manasseh. And he was a contemporary of other prophets such as Amos, Hosea, and Micah. At that time, there were two nations, Israel and Judah. Isaiah dwelt in Judah, which became the leading power of Palestine, all in contrast to the decline of its neighbor Israel. Yet not all was well, meaning that Isaiah increasingly warned against the waywardness of the kings and many of the people, making his life and ministry increasingly difficult. And so the book of Isaiah is depicted against a political and a spiritual backdrop, pointing to the threat of invading Assyrian armies, with the ultimate destruction of Jerusalem predicted alongside a long and tortuous exile to Babylon. Despite that, Isaiah speaks of hope and future restoration for those who would trust in God, for he foresaw a way of salvation that would ultimately extend to all people, all of which would lead to the establishment of a new heaven and a new earth. More, of course, could be said. 66 chapters in total, divided into sections the same as the Bible. 1 to 39 offering scathing call to Judah, Israel and the surrounding nations to repent, whilst the final 27 act as a contrast, as a future hope and blessing is outlined. And all of this takes the form of both prose and poetry. In the midst of that, Isaiah personifies his writing, especially when attributing personal quality to divine beings. Whilst many of his prophecies predict both an imminent event along with a distant future event, but all at the same time. And so I could have said all of that and more, yet somehow it wouldn't have been sufficient. For what needed to be said concerned Jesus. And that's whom Isaiah speaks of in chapter 49, the Messiah. For it's he who counts, and it's him who must be known. And it's in these three verses that God's person and personality are made known, that his intention is made clear. For this is a message for the world and all who inhabit it. It's a message that the New Testament apostles accepted and the earliest church sought to practice, beginning a movement throughout history which continues to the present, all with the aim of ensuring that Jesus is made known, that his gospel is heard, and that as many who have opportunity respond, wherever that might be. And so it goes on. And all who believe can be called and equipped to fulfill that purpose in their own distinctive way. But more than that, Isaiah demonstrates God's fathomless love. For we are told that he put into being a way of restoration, a means of knowing him once again by sending his son. And so we read of Jesus being chosen, of a plan prepared, all to cause God to share in our image, to be like us and be amongst us, yet still very much remain as God. All of which is reflected in Micah chapter 5. Then there's the name given to the Messiah, a name announced by an angel, and a name that has power and authority always. A name to be called upon, a name to be turned to, a name to be proclaimed. for you, for me, and for those who have yet to know. All reflected in Luke chapter 1. But not only does the name of Jesus have power and authority, his words do also. And so whatever Jesus says can affect each one of us. They can influence circumstances, transform situations, changing the very direction of life and the existence that we know. Yet Isaiah reminds us that God is not always what we imagine, and nor will he act in the way that we might assume. For in Jesus' coming, there was preparation. There was a time for coming to prominence, and there was a time to do and say all that he did. Yet beforehand were all manner of experiences in this life and this world, making Jesus familiar with our experience, whatever that might be. And then Isaiah includes the name Israel, but by doing so points again to the Messiah. For Jesus' origin was in that land, but his name was also fulfilled through the name of Israel, all of which means to be governed by God. Which takes me back to the conversation I had with the person I have in mind. But not just that person, for there are others. They might be near or far, but whoever they are known to us and known by us. And because Isaiah has written as he has, and because the Messiah is who he is, and because we can respond as we are, there is hope. Hope for you and I that we can be and become all that God would have us be. But hope as well for the church as it expands rather than contracts. Whether it be here or elsewhere in Dundee or throughout the UK or across the world. And all of that involves a conversation, one that begins with God through his Son, Jesus, that continues with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that leads to a friendship and dialogue with all kinds of other people, all done in a way that engages with those for whom Isaiah currently means very little, and for whom the Messiah is still unknown. Let us pray. Lord, we take for granted what we know and who we know. Enable us to be moved by you all the more to converse as we speak of what God has done, of what he can still do, and of what it might mean to those who listen, and to those who respond. For this is our prayer, spoken in Jesus' name. Amen.